Saram dear listeners, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom, our series where we relive and rediscover some of the beautiful golden olden melodies which used to be sung in the Sanctum Sanctorum of Prashanthinilayam way back in the 60s and 70s. We have had such a heartening response since we started this program, and this only inspires us to continue this series. So we are going to have many more bhajans in the coming weeks. We are going to share with you these beautiful compositions that Swami loved to listen in those early formative years of Satya Sai Bhajan movement. And today what we have is a beautiful bhajan, a Namavali bhajan on Rama, on Sita, and about praying to the Lord to protect us. This is how the first line of the bhajan goes.
Rama, 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 Sita, Ramachandra, Pahima.
So just like in every episode of this program, we will have first the lyrics and then we'll move on to the tune, the raga of the bhajan, the beat that this bhajan is set to. And then we will take every word of this bhajan and dwell on its meaning, on its inner significance. So let's get started with Brother Srinivasulu giving to us the lyrics of this bhajan.
Rama, Rama, Rama Sita, Rama Chandra Pahimam, Rama Krishna Govinda Hare Pahimam, Krishna Krishna Gopala Vasudeva Pahimam, Rama Krishna Govinda Hare Pahimam, Hara Hara Gangadhara Neelakantha Pahimam, Rama Krishna Govinda Hare Pahimam.
And now you are familiar with the lyrics of the bhajan, so let's proceed to learning this bhajan. The most interesting part of any bhajan is to sing it correctly, right pronunciation, right tune, right beat. So here is Brother Srinivasulu along with Brother Anirudh giving us a slow demonstration of how this bhajan should be sung.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale G Pancham.
Rama, 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 Sita, Rama Chandra Pahima.
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 Rama Krishna Govinda Hare Pahima.
Rama Krishna Govinda Hare Pahima.
Krishna Krishna Gopala Vasudeva 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 Pahima.
Rama Krishna Govinda Hare Pahima.
Rama Krishna Govinda Hare Pahima.
Hara Hara Gangadhara Neelakantha 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 Pahima.
Rama Krishna Govinda
ಗೋವಿಂದ ಹರೆ ಪಾಹಿ ಮಾ. ರಾಮ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಹರೆ ಪಾಹಿ ಮಾ.
ರಾಮ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಹರೆ ಪಾಹಿ ಮಾ.
ರಾಮ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಹರೆ ಪಾಹಿ ಮಾ.
ರಾಮ 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 ಸೀತಾ ರಾಮಚಂದ್ರ ಪಾಹಿ ಮಾ.
Sweet, soft and soothing. Perhaps that is one way of describing how beautiful this bhajan is. And when you hear it in the voice of Brother Srinivasulu, it can only sound as melodious as it can be. The technical nature of the bhajan also is very simple. Brother Anirudh is here with us to share his joy about discovering this bhajan. So tell us, Anirudh, what are your thoughts on this bhajan?
Sairam Vishu.
Sairam.
Your words were so right that there is nothing else in my mind other than soft, sweet and soothing. It's a very correct description for this bhajan. This bhajan is so filled with melody that a couple of things come to my mind. As a composition, when I look at it, the lyrics are actually the simple Namavali lyrics. Rama Krishna Govinda Hare Pahi Maam. Krishna Krishna Gopala, and then later Hara Hara Gangadhara, Nilakanta Pahimam, Ramakrishna Govinda Hare Pahimam. But the most beautiful thing is that how the tune adds so much of life and melody to the whole lyrics, the simple lyrics. At this moment I remember the discourse when Swami says, no, that the music is so sweet. Rama Nanna Kapadava.
Yes.
When you call out to Lord like that in a conversing manner, it sounds odd. But
Rama Kapadava.
So when you put a tune to it, it sounds so beautiful.
Yes.
So similarly, this bhajan is in the same plane where
Rama Krishna Govinda Hare Pahima.
And it is so bright also, this bhajan. Mm. When I come to the raga of this bhajan, you can say the raga means most of the lines may be belonging to the raga called Yaman Kalyan. Most of the lines may be belonging to the raga called Yamuna Kalyani, where you have the both maas, the Tivrama and the Shuddhama.
Nesare
Shuddhri
Ga
Shuddhaga
Ga Ma
Shuddha. It's like a Bilawal, but you have the Tivrama coming so beautifully in such a way that it makes it Yamuna Kalyani. Second line, you go to the Tivrama.
Hara 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 Mahadeva Shiva Shambho.
That goes to the usual Madhyamam. And also you have
Rama Krishna Govinda Narayana Keshava Radhika Ramana Madhava Jayaranga Deva.
Even this bhajan is like that, right? Very soothing and soft.
Yeah.
And just the Namavali.
Just the Namavali.
And anyone can sing it, you know?
Yeah. It sounds so simple.
Mm.
At the same time, if you look within so technically, means you may go so deep as like the Tivrama is coming, this is coming. So you will, means the outline is so simple, but when you go within, it has so many aspects.
Yeah, so many nuances to it.
But actually, it's very simple without knowing the technical structure.
Yeah.
Because you get so lost in the tune.
Yes.
And the tune actually gives you so much of feeling and bhava.
Yes.
It supports you to give the bhava to the bhajan.
Yes.
So that's why the tune also plays a major role.
So much. Yeah,
in the,
absolutely.
In giving the feelings. Of course, the lyrics is the primordial thing.
Yes.
Without the lyrics, there is no bhajan. But if you take the simple namavalis, which Swami always liked.
Yes.
And so that everybody can participate in the bhajan.
Correct.
So easily. And also, I remember one more bhajan.
Shirdi Sai Parti Sai.
Yes.
This also has that both the mass.
Gana amrit me bhav bhi dijo, prem sai bhagwan, prem sai bhagwan.
One more bhajan, which is a beautiful example for this similar bhajan is,
Krishna Krishna Govinda Narayana Krishna Rama Govinda Narayana.
All are namavalis.
Yeah.
So let's move on and let's do the swaras. I think that will help all those or budding artists out there to play this in their musical instruments. And I think that also gives a very good clarity of the tune, isn't it? Once we know the swaras.
We'll also exactly know as which note we should stand for.
Yes.
Like if you take that line.
Rama Krishna Govinda.
That word go.
Yes.
Isn't that sweet note called ma?
Yes.
Ma gari gari sa.
So this kind of swara exercise really helped for the singers also to practice, okay, this is in the ma. So,
yes.
Rama Krishna Govinda.
Let's take the first line of the bhajan.
Yeah.
Rama 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 Sita Rama Chandra Pahima Nipani Nisa Sa 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 Sari Sa Nini Sa Sari Di Ni pa ni ni sa 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 ri sa ni ni sa sa ri ri.
Ram Krishna Govinda Hari Pahima Ni sa ri ga ma ga ri ga ri sa sa ri sa ni sa.
Ni sa ri ga ma gari gari sa sari sa ni sa.
The next line starts with the tivra madhyamam. So it's important to note that the harmonium accompanying person, if he can give the support of
Krishna Krishna go.
In the second time, we end this line with the ga only. I'll just demonstrate.
Ma 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 pa 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 ga ma ga ga ga.
So that it connects to the next line, which is
Rama Krishna Govinda Hari Pahima Ne Sare Ga Ma Ga Ri Ga Ri Sa.
So the swara is the same as the second line. And you have two more lines which is exactly the same tune but different lyrics.
Hara Hara Ganga Dhara Neela Kantha Pahima Rama Krishna Govinda Hari Pahima.
Beautiful. So I guess the beat also is simple, right?
Yeah, the beat is very simple. The usual 8-beat, Aditalam and Keherva in the Hindustani classical music. Let's have the count.
1, 2, 3, 4.
1. Rama, 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 Sita, Rama, Chandra, Pahima.
Rama, 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 Sita, Rama, Chandra, Pahima.
Rama, Krishna, Govinda, Hare, 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 Pahima.
Actually, the very first time I heard this bhajan is from my mother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so when my mother was studying in her 8th standard, she heard this bhajan in her school days, and they used to sing in the samitis. So from there, she taught many devotees and kids, and then I learned this bhajan. And then we used to sing in our Balukas days this beautiful bhajan.
And now you can go and teach to the 8th class students here in the higher secondary school.
Yeah.
It's coming back, you know, after so many years, this bhajan is again coming back.
Yeah.
And I think that is so beautiful.
And it's good to revive such simple namavalis, because
absolutely,
Swami always wanted,
yes,
as I said before, the yes, namavalis,
yes,
so that everybody can participate and follow.
Yes. Now, the bhajan has remained also in the consciousness for so long because
exactly,
it is so simple and so soothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, wonderful.
Such compositions only remain forever.
Yes.
Etched,
yeah,
in the hearts of many.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Arvind Sai.
Thank you, Vishu.
Thank you, Sai Vishu, Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So we now come to the third and most important part of bhajan singing, the aspect of singing with a feeling of offering to the Lord. And we can make it an offering to the Lord only when we sing it, not from the lips, but from our heart. And we can sing from our heart only when we feel the bhajan in our being. So let's take every word of this bhajan and dwell on what this bhajan could mean to us. Let's start with the first line.
Rama, 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 Sita, Rama, Chandra, Pahima.
Rama and Sita, the most beautiful names. Perhaps they need no explanation, and any number of explanation is not enough. That's how profound these two names are. They are etched into every part of Indian culture. They are part of every Bharatiya. They are part of everything that we use to connect to the divine. Pahima means protect us. Swami says Rama and Sita represent the creator and the creation, God and Mother Nature. One of the times when God came down in human form, he was called Rama, and Mother Nature was called Sita. And in this bhajan, we pray to this cosmic being to protect us. There is an interesting story that happened in the modern era about praying to Rama and experiencing the grace and the protection of Rama. Madhurantakam is a small town about 70 kilometers to the south of Chennai. There is a rich folklore associated with this place, and it is said that Lord Rama himself visited this while wandering in search of Mother Sita. And there is a big tank in the neighborhood, and Rama is supposed to have had a bath there while visiting this place. In later years, a temple for Rama was duly established. Let us now fast forward to the closing years of the 18th century. So by this time, Chennai and many regions near it had come under the rule of British India Company, British East India Company, and that included this little town, Madhurantakam. Sometime in 1795, there was a deep depression in the Bay of Bengal, following which there was a heavy downpour in and around Madhurantakam. So the then collector, Colonel Lionel Price, got the news that the lake in Madhurantakam was full and there was a danger of a breach. And if the breach occurred, it might result in severe damage to surrounding property. So Colonel Price lost no time in heading for Madhurantakam, and after carrying out the inspection, he ordered that the breach be plugged. And he also decided to visit the Rama temple in the neighborhood. So out of respect for native tradition, he removed his shoes and he entered the temple. And what he saw there was that the temple was in a dilapidated condition. Apparently, devotion had declined over time, and that was part of the reason why the temple was in such a sorry state of affairs. So Colonel Price looked around, and in a corner he saw a heap of bricks. So he asked, what are these bricks doing here? So the temple priest said that they are meant for constructing a temple for Mother Sita, but the construction could not be carried out because there was no money. And now Colonel Price asked, why is there no money? And the priest said that the huge tank here is regularly breached during cyclones, and that has caused much loss to the people. So there's no way people could actually raise funds for building the temple. And now Colonel Price said, oh, is it? How come your Rama is not coming to your rescue? You all pray to Rama. How is it that he is not protecting the tank and he is not allowing you to build the temple for his consort? So the sarcastic comment of Colonel Price hurt the temple authorities, but they could not tell him anything. But one of them was bold. He picked up courage and he said, next time there is an emergency, dear sir, you will definitely see Lord Rama coming to our rescue. And as it turned out, very shortly after that, there was a huge downpour. And this time the situation was really, really serious. Colonel Price rushed again to Madhurantakam, and the sight there overwhelmed him. There was a ferocious storm that was raging, and the fury of nature was so terrible that Colonel Price was stunned. He was speechless. Earlier he appeared to be strong, and in this situation he was at his wit's ends. He did not know what to do. He did not know how to save the situation. He also felt there is only way the situation can be saved is only if God intervenes. The entire village was now taking shelter in the temple, and the water level in the lake was just rising, and it was rising menacingly. And Colonel Price now wondered if he also was going to survive, because the water level was rising so high that everyone was going to drown in the village, including himself. And he was thinking, oh my God, what is this fate? My wife and my family, they are all in England, and am I going to have a watery grave in this little town? And he was so tensed, and he started praying to Jesus, and finally he called out to Lord Rama, because he found one elderly gentleman was talking non-stop about Lord Rama and his glory and his power. So in that desperate situation, Colonel Price put out a challenge to Lord Rama, and silently he prayed to Rama and said, oh Lord Rama, all of these people, they sing your praises, they say you are great. In that case, please come to the rescue of all of us, and please save all of us, otherwise we are going to drown here. If you respond to my prayers, I shall, as an expression of my gratitude, build a temple for your consort. So Colonel Price makes this earnest plea to Lord Rama, because the situation was so pathetic and so fatal. And the moment he made this prayer, immediately there was a flash of lightning, and Colonel Price was blessed with a vision of Rama and Lakshmana. They were smiling from the skies. He was so stunned, so astounded, he just shouted, look there! And he fainted. When he regained consciousness, Colonel Price found himself in a comfortable bed in his own quarters, surrounded by his people. And the moment he opened his eyes, the first question he asked is, what is the latest position about the tank? And then the people informed him that miraculously the rains stopped abruptly, and the water level in the tank in the lake came down. It came down to absolutely safe level, and everyone was saved. And when Colonel Price heard this, he was not only relieved, he was so ecstatic, and most importantly, he was so grateful to the Lord to have come to his rescue in such a dramatic fashion. He knew who is Lord Rama, and he immediately built that temple for Mother Sita just as he had promised to Lord Rama. In fact, even today, the temple deity there is not referred to just as Rama, but in Tamil, he is referred to as the Rama who protected the tank. That is the name of the deity, the Rama who protected the tank. And even now, one can find an inscription in Tamil and Telugu in the temple where it is mentioned how British East India Company collector Colonel Price built this temple, and there is in fact a small representation of the colonel himself engraved in stone, apparently in his official uniform. So if you call out to the Lord, Pahimam, Pahimam, there is Rama who can arrange nature in such a way that the whole nature comes to your rescue. You can change everything around nature, because what is nature? It is Mother Sita, and nature protected him, and then he built a temple for Mother Sita. That is the beautiful story of Madhurantaka. Madhura means nectar. So this is a nectarous story of the Lord's protection, and any number of stories of this nature we find in every corner of India, and that is what is conveyed in this line, Rama 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 Sita Rama Chandra Pahimam. Not only India, I think wherever the name of Rama and Sita is sung, there you have the Lord's protection. It can be India, it can be Indonesia, it can be Malaysia, it can be America, it can be anywhere. Let's move on to the next line.
Rama Krishna Govinda Hare Pahimam.
So here, Govinda means the one who is a caretaker of our souls, is a caretaker of cows, is a caretaker of individual beings. There are so many beautiful meanings of this word, Govinda. Krishna, one meaning of Krishna is one who cultivates our heart, who looks after the well-being of our soul. Hari means one who takes away our problems. Swami narrates a very beautiful Chinnakatha. Swami says how once a spiritual aspirant was going in a jungle, and then as he was plodding across an infested region, as he was cutting through the grass and the trees and the thick undergrowth, suddenly he heard this angry roar of a lion, and he was so terrified he immediately climbed a tree to escape from the beast. And now the lion did not move anywhere. The lion was now under the tree. The lion could not climb, but it was under the tree, going round and round in circles, waiting for the man to come down so that he will make a meal out of that man. But the man was in such a terrible situation. He was going up and up, but now he could not go even up, because up there was a bear, and the bear was ready to attack him. So now he didn't know where to go. Below was a lion, top is a bear, so he immediately slid down the roots that descended from one of the trees. It was a banyan tree, and there was these two huge roots descending from the tree. So he clung on to these two roots hanging from the branch, and he was in midair, somehow precariously holding on to his life, holding on to his every breath. In each hand he was holding these two roots, and just when he thought, okay, somehow he can breathe now, he saw two rats, one white and one black, and these two rats, they were gnawing at the base of these roots. So at any point in time, these roots were going to get cut. It was such a terrible situation. He didn't know what to do. His life could not get anything worse than this. And even as all this was happening, even as he was in such a perilous state, he saw that there was a honeycomb. And this honeycomb on the top of one of the branches was so full of sweet nectar. And one drop of nectar actually leaked from this honeycomb, and it was falling on his way. So this man, who was holding on to his dear life, put out his tongue to just catch a drop of that honey, of that delicious honey. He thought somehow he wanted to taste that honey. It's so amazing that even in that situation, he actually wanted to taste the honey, but he tried to do that, but he could not get that honey on his tongue. And now he knew that he's going to die. He knew his life was in such a delicate situation that the only thing now he could think of is God. He called out to his guru, "Oh Guruji, please come and save me." And interestingly, his guru was actually passing by. And the guru immediately came to his rescue. The guru bought a bow and arrow and he chased the lion and the bear away. And he immediately shooed off the rats and he saved the disciple. Just in a matter of a second, he saved the disciple from all the troubles which were like impossible to deal with. It just happened in a trice. He was saved. And then the guru took him to his own ashram and tried to teach him what he learned from the episode. And Bhagwan says, this is what all of us are also going through in our lives. The jungle in which the man was going through is the world in which we are every day finding ourselves in. We find ourselves trying to maneuver through grass and trees and plants and insects and thick bushes. That is what this world is all about. And Swami says, what is chasing us is fear and insecurity. And that fear and insecurity is this lion. It is such a huge beast which is driving us mad, and that is driving up this tree of samsara, is driving up this tree of worldly activities. And just as we think that, okay, we will go up and do all these activities and save ourselves from this fear and this insecurity, on top is anxiety. Anxiety is that bear, and that anxiety all the time terrifies us. It dogs our steps. We don't know what to do. We are between fear and anxiety all the time in our life. And so, to escape from these two, we slide down, holding on to two roots. And those two roots, Swami says, are the twin roots of hope and despair. These are our attachments. We slide down into attachments and we hold on to these two roots of hope and despair. And Swami says the two rats that are eating into this hope and despair is day and night. Every day, as time passes, we find our hopes going down. We are more in despair. And that is how day and night just eat away the span of our life, and we spend afraid of fear, anxiety, then hold on to attachment, and then slowly hope and despair is ebbing away from our life. And even as all this is happening, if we see a little nectar, and what is this nectar? Swami says these are the sweet drops of egoism and my feeling. The moment we see some my feeling, we see some egoism, we want to taste that. And it is so difficult for us. But you know, we want that nectar of ego. And only when that also is denied, only when we are hit with the hard knocks of life, that is when we shout out for God. We shout out for a guru. We shout out for guidance. We shout out with the agony of renunciation. And that is when God comes from within or without. And that is how he takes that opportunity of the adversity to take us closer to divine proximity and save us from this jungle, from this fear, from this anxiety. And in this bhajan, you have the occasion to pray to Rama, Krishna, Govinda, praying to all these forms of God, all these names of God to protect us. Pahimam, Pahimam. As Bhagwan says, one man tried to remember God in his last moment, so he named all his sons Rama, Krishna, Govinda. But finally, when the sons came, as he called out Rama, Krishna, Govinda, he passed away saying, oh, all of you have come, but who will look after my shop? That was the last statement he said, and he passed away. So the last thought was not Rama, Krishna, Govinda, but the shop. The only way Rama, Krishna, Govinda will be there all the time on our lips and be there in our most adverse moments as well as in our most delightful moments is when we make it a habit to chant them all the time. And that is what this bhajan is urging us to do. It's a simple Namavali bhajan. If we sing these names, Rama, Krishna, Govinda, then these names will protect us. In this bhajan, in this line, we make that prayer. Pahimam, Pahimam, please protect us. Let's move on to the next line.
Krishna, Krishna, Gopala, Vasudeva, Pahimam.
Here the only new word is Vasudeva, another name of Lord Krishna, because he is the son of Vasudeva. We know Lord Krishna is the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, and because he is the son of Vasudeva, he is called Vasudeva. Gopala is the same meaning as Govinda. I'm reminded here of Mr. Krishnadas Eradi, who came to Bhagwan way back in the late 60s for the first time, and the first darshan that he had of Bhagwan was such a life-changing moment for him, because he saw in the bhajan hall not Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, not Satya Sai Baba. He saw there his beloved, most worshipped, most adored, and his precious deity, Lord Krishna. He saw beautiful Krishna sitting in the throne in bhajan hall, and that was such a life-defining moment that from that moment onwards, he had no doubt whatsoever about who Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba is. Swami gave him plenty of opportunities to sing in the divine physical presence, and even till this day he sings in the Sanctum Sanctorum of Prashanthi Nilayam. In 1973, when he was working in Chennai in the Quality Inspection Department of TCR Corporation, there was one instance which taught him a very powerful lesson. By then, he had worked for 4 years in that company and was now being promoted to join the company's office in Bellary, a city in Andhra Pradesh. And he was supposed to take over this position in 10 days, but before joining there, he wanted to take Bhagwan's permission. So he requested his boss and he came to Puttaparthi for a quick visit, and he thought once he gets Swami's permission, he'll move to Kerala, get his parents' permission and then take up the new job, then move straight to Bellary. So he came to Prashanthi Nilayam, and the moment Swami saw him in morning darshan, Swami asked, "When are you going back?" And he said, "Tomorrow, Swami." And immediately Swami said, "Tomorrow itself you're going back?" So the way Bhagwan asked, Mr. Krishnadas Eradi thought that that was not the right answer, so he corrected himself and said, "Swami, whenever you say, Swami, you command me and only then I will leave." And when Swami heard this, Swami was very happy. Swami blessed him. And so Mr. Eradi was waiting for Bhagwan's permission to leave. So 2 days passed and there was nothing from Bhagwan, no indication from Swami, and now he started worrying because he just had 10 days of leave. He had to get Swami's permission, he has to go to Kerala and then go back to his office and then move to the new location. So he just had two days for everything. But now already 3 days are over and Bhagwan has not indicated to him anything. His frustration was increasing. 5 days passed and now he was getting more and more restless. There is no way he can leave Puttaparthi also, because he told Swami very clearly that, "Swami, only when you tell me, I will leave." And now his situation was getting worse by the day, because he was thinking that if this happens, probably he will lose his position. He's just got a promotion, and if he does not report on time, definitely he's going to lose his new job. And in those days, getting a job was not easy. It was not the days of SMS or email or telephone. Even to make a call was so difficult. We are talking about 70s in India. So he didn't know what to do, and finally, out of desperation, one day he went to Professor Kasturi and he said, "Sir, it is already the 10th day and I was supposed to assume my new position today. Swami just does not tell me anything. He avoids me every time." And Professor Kasturi said, "What did you tell Swami that day when you first came?" And he said, "I told Swami, I will go whenever you tell me to go." And then Professor Kasturi says, "Then why do you worry? And how can I go and ask Swami anything? There is no way I can also interfere in this. In fact, there is no point asking Swami about it. You just don't worry. Nothing will happen to you. Swami will definitely protect you. Maybe there is something good in this for you. You are with Swami here in Puttaparthi. He will take care. Just be patient. Keep praying." So these words of Professor Kasturi filled Mr. Eradi with some courage, but still his mind was a muddle with 100 worries. In fact, in those days he was suffering from a severe liver ailment. His system revolted if he took anything oily. He could not eat any outside food. In fact, when he was staying in Chennai, he was staying at his sister's place, so he had no problem because his sister took complete care of her. But now he was to go to Bellary. He was still a bachelor. He didn't know how he was going to manage his own food because he had very, very strict food restrictions. This was another problem which was all the time worrying him night and day. But this was a smaller problem. The bigger problem was he was not going to have his job. He's going to be fired. 11 exasperating days passed. There was absolutely no sign and message from Swami. And now Mr. Eradi thought, "That's it. I am going to lose the job. on the 12th day, he wrote a letter to Swami and he just put it in the altar in his room. And in that letter, he said, Swami, please, please ask me to get out of Prashant Nilayam. That was how desperate his situation was. And that morning, after he placed that letter in his altar, he came for darshan. And now, when he stretched his hand with the letter, the moment Swami saw him, Swami said, get in. So he went straight to the interview room. He was relieved. He was happy. After so many days, Swami was actually speaking to him. And in fact, he was so much in joy that he forgot about his job. He forgot about the problem. He forgot about the delicate situation he was in. And as soon as Bhagwan came in, instead of asking about the job, he suddenly remembered about his liver problem. And he began to tell Swami Lee. He just uttered the word Lee and Swami immediately took over. And Swami said, I know you have a liver problem. I know Dr. Nagarajan in Chennai is treating you. I know this is the injection you have taken. These are the tablets you have taken. But don't worry. Nothing is going to happen. And Swami immediately created a huge chunk of vibhuti. It was fragrant. And Swami gave it to him and said, eat the entire quantity right now. And he immediately gulped the entire huge amount of vibhuti, and Mr. Eradi says, since then, he never had a single liver problem. More than 40 years have gone by. He's more than 70 now, but he never had any problem with his liver. He eats everything without any problem. Even when he goes for a general checkup, the doctors say, your liver is perfect. So after 12 days, he had the interview, his liver problem was cured, and then Bhagwan blessed him, and Swami said, you come again during Onam with your family. Onam was just 3 months away, so he just took Bhagwan's permission, and he returned to Chennai, and he thought, anyway, my job would not be there. I would have all the time in the world to come at any time to Prashant Nilayam, but the most important problem is, where is the money? I'm not going to have my job. Even though he said, yes, Swami, I will come. But he really didn't know how he was going to make it. In any case, he returned to Chennai with a lot of trepidation. He stepped into his office and he was thinking how to face the boss. He was tensed. Somehow he picked up courage. He went to his boss's room and he simply, honestly narrated everything that had transpired in Prashant Nilayam. His boss heard the entire story and at the end of it, simply said nothing. He said, okay, fine. So he continued to work in his earlier position and the boss gave him leave to go for Onam. Not only Onam, he came subsequently for Dasara, for Swami's birthday. And after 10 months, the boss gave him a new position. And now it was not in Bellary. His boss now asked him to go to Cochin. And he gave him an air ticket. And when he went to Cochin, he realized that that was the best place for him because here he had a huge house with free electricity, free water, free household, free paper, free everything. Swami had ensured that for 10 months, he works in the same office. His health is perfect. He gets his promotion in the right time, in the right place. All this because his faith in Swami was rock solid after that first darshan that he had of Bhagwan as Krishna. There are any number of instances of Mr. Eradi experiencing the grace of Bhagwan. And I think that is true for every devotee. If you just chant the name with faith, faith is fearlessly always. I trust him. That is what this line is conveying. And in this bhajan, you have this sentiment being expressed at every line. The next line, Ramakrishna Govinda Hare Paimam, is a repeat of the second line. In fact, this line repeats for the sixth line also. The only other line in this bhajan is Harahara Gangadhara Neelakanta Pahimam. Here, we adore the Lord as Neelakanta because He is the one who took the poison on His throat for the sake of protecting mankind. He is Gangadhara. There is Ganges flowing from His matted locks. Ganges is life-giving. And holding the poison on His throat is life-protecting. So that is what is conveyed in Harahara Gangadhara Neelakanta Paimam. The Lord will go to any extent to protect us. That is what is the meaning of this line.
Harahara Gangadhara Neelakanta கண்ட பாகிமா.
We pray to this Lord to look after us, to look after our well-being. So this is what is conveyed in this beautiful bhajan. Let us sing this bhajan once again with the singers of Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir.
Rama 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 Sita Ramachandra Pahima.
Us to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. We hope you enjoyed this episode. As always, if you have any queries or comments, please write to listener@radiosai.org. With gratitude and love, we offer this endeavor at the lotus feet of our most beautiful, beloved Bhagwan.